This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Through tribulations, you are faithful. Your love unmoved, just like the mountains. Forever with us, you are faithful. Circumstances don't determine what's due. Through joy and tragedy, you're faithful and true. Oh, we bring our praise. We bring our praise to you. We bring our praise to you. Sovereign, Creator, Savior, you are sovereign. Able to use all things for our good. You bring the dead to life, you're sovereign. We bring an offering of praise to you. Our circumstances don't determine what's due. Through joy and tragedy, you're faithful and true. Oh, we bring our praise. We bring our praise to you. To worship you, this one obsession, one fixation we're created for. To worship you in every storm, in every fire, purify our hearts. To worship you. This is our joy, this is our full and generous reward. To worship. Circumstances don't determine what's due. Through joy and tragedy, you're faithful and true. Oh, we bring our praise. We bring our praise to you. Yeah.
the goodness of God.
Thank you.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. When I've seen many searching for answers afar.
perfect Father, that we can come to you as your children, Father, through Jesus Christ. Jesus, who's giving us access, Father, that we can come to you as our perfect Father. We thank you for that, Father. And we've got a celebration Sunday that we just want to celebrate that as a congregation that we are here for 4 years. But even if 4 years, we haven't got enough words to describe what has happened. How awesome and how wonderful you are, Father. And yes, we are going to meet eternity up there in heaven to explain to other people what you've done in our lives. How awesome you are in our lives, Father, that we want to share it with each other. And thank you that this evening as well, this afternoon, that we can come together, and that we could start with a baptism, Father, that we could start, which is so important. Thank you, Father, that you're a perfect Father, and that we can listen to you and hear about you and get excited about you and make other people excited about you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for that song. And it's maybe a little bit of a strange note actually to start with, but it's actually awesome to be able to sing of the perfect Father, because yesterday evening my earthly father passed away. He was 92. And then today to be able and to sing about our perfect Father who's going to be with us forever and ever. And that's, yeah, it's actually awesome. Thank you. Thank you that the Lord has put that song in your heart that we could sing it today. It's a celebration. And that's why we've got some flowers and we've got some basics, because it's not about the slingers. What's it in English? The partying, the old banting, or that K-panting, all that stuff, and so on and so on. Thank you for that. It's not about that. Where it is about, it's a relationship with God. What God has done in our lives, and that's where we want to share about. That's where we want to talk about. And I felt that the Lord has put it on our heart that today we're going to sit at tables, because we're also going to finish with communion. So the two sacraments we will have it today, the baptism and the communion, where God is inviting us as a father to come and say, come my child, come and sit with me at the table. And that's what we're going to do later on. So I'm going to tell a little bit about Shofar, how we started. And maybe at certain times I'm going to ask my wife as well to hold the microphone and to share a little bit as well, because she was supposed to be with the kids, but as the kids didn't turn up, she's actually off today. But this afternoon, it's about God, and to him all the glory and all the honor. And it's for him and through him that we are on this earth. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for other people. And that's something what I learned in the time when I started to know more about God, to have a relationship with God. That I'm not here for myself. I'm not here to see what is in it for me. But what wants God to do through me to reach other people and to work with other people. Me and my wife have been, for the majority of our lives, been in what we would call the traditional churches. We would have been sitting on a Sunday morning at the front over here, if I can put it that way. And it was in 2009 that both of us were baptized, and this is when our lives really changed, and when we were spirit-filled, and then we were starting to get involved. At that time, we were staying in Somerset West. It's in South Africa. And they were busy with putting up a church. But the mother church, which is still the mother church, is in Stellenbosch in South Africa. And then we started getting involved over there. And we had a few hostels, and there were quite a few students over there. So for us, it's normally to have young people and to speak to young people. It's our heart. And that's where we started then with with being involved in the church. Renee already had in June 2013, where the Lord spoke to her when she was over here in the Netherlands, that she said, but this is the country where I'm calling you for. When she saw all the things, how it was organized with the Ofi chip card and the ding and the dent and everything works and according to time and so on and so on. And the Lord said, I'm calling you for this country. It was in end of 2013 and the beginning of 2014 what me and Renee attended, what we call a ministry training program. So you're actually being trained to become a pastor. We already had 5 hostels, so we had anything of around, I think, 60 or 70 students, which were already our responsibility. So we already had a type of a smallish congregation, you could say. And then we did the ministry training program. But during the ministry training program, at a certain time, they said to us, we are not actually interested in you, but we are interested in your passports. Okay, so it was a little bit of a new one for us. We're not quite sure how what was the reason behind it. But then in early 2014, the apostolic team, which is the team which is responsible for Shofar, they called us in. And we thought, now we've got problems. We've just now done the exams, and we must probably have said or done certain things wrong, and they're going to delete us out of the membership fee of Shofar, and we already had things, and what are we going to do then, and so on and so on. But then when we came to the meeting, they asked a very simple question. What is the Lord saying to you about Europe? Renee already knew she was going to go because the Lord has already spoken to her. And I said, as a good Christian, I said, I'll pray about it. And that's the best thing which happened in my life, besides the baptism. I started praying. I took time early in the morning. At work, I would say, okay, that morning I'm coming in late. Then I would stand up early in the morning and I would go and sit down, sit on the ground, switch on the music and say, Lord, I don't know which song you want me to hear. I put it on shuffle and he will put the songs on what is has got to play. And then I would hear each and every time he's got a message in those songs. Then you will see a line between the 2 or the 3 songs what I was listening. And then I started speaking to God. And then I heard, but wait a moment, he's replying as well. And there God started speaking to me. And the Lord said, yes, you're going to the Netherlands. Yes, you're going to Utrecht. But Renee was getting exactly the same answers from God. And that's where the Utrecht and the Netherlands study became. So it was in 2014 where we started and becoming aware that we had to go to the Netherlands. And then also in the middle of 2014, we were over here with a mission team, and we had a look at first at Zurich. There was already a type of a Shofar group over there. But the Lord said to us, no, you're not going to go over there. Maybe in Geldorf, which is a small town in Germany. But the Lord also said, no, it's not where I want you to be. I want you to be in Utrecht. And we couldn't figure out. Utrecht is the 4th biggest city of the Netherlands. But why Utrecht? Why does the Lord want us to go to Utrecht? Because you've got Amsterdam, Rotterdam, The Hague, and then you've got Utrecht. Agree? He's staying in Utrecht and he has got a church in Rotterdam. So he knows that Rotterdam is bigger than Utrecht because he's staying in the one and working in the other. But okay, if that's the Lord's will, then we want to do what God is telling us to do. Just go have a look and see just put up the first picture. Yeah. When we heard that God was starting to speak to us, we asked people in Somerset West for us to start praying as well, to pray along with us, intercessors. Now those intercessors started to pray with us before we went, and they are still praying each and every Friday morning for us. And that's very important, because we know that continuously there are people who are praying for us and who are telling things to us without knowing the church, without knowing even sometimes a specific person in the church. Then they will send a message and they will say this or this or that. Then we say, but how? The Holy Spirit is working over there. But that's awesome. So that's a group over there, 3 ladies coming together on a Friday morning, each and every Friday morning, praying for us, sending the messages through. And they started praying along with us before that. Then in the middle of 2014, we were over here. And then towards the end of 2014, we were over here again. The next one, then it was Werner and Retief, 2 pastors from Shofar, who came over here. The 3rd pastor didn't have a visa, so he had to stay in London. He couldn't come to the Netherlands. And we went to 5 places around the central area of Utrecht, where the Lord told us to go and pray and prophesy, as what we've been doing last week, Saturday as well, or Saturday a week ago. And the Lord told us, and go and pray. And each every time he put something on our heart. Once it was about the pride of the people in Utrecht, then it was about the money in Utrecht. And each and every time he told us, that's what we've got to pray for. So the place was also being prayed for beforehand, before we actually came. And then it was in the beginning of 2015, knowing that we were going to go in the middle of 2015, that we did a type of, call it a road trip. So we went through to a few different churches. We explained to them as what the Lord told us to do in Utrecht, and we asked them then also to pray for us. And with that, we also made contact with people. And as we were at certain places, very strange things happened over there. That I'm just thinking about Johannesburg. We came in Johannesburg, and one lady that morning didn't know that we were going to come and that we were going to tell about the Netherlands and about Utrecht that morning. And she said she had to buy flowers that morning for the church, and she was standing in front of the flower store and had to buy flowers. And then she felt that the Holy Spirit is telling her she's got to buy which flowers, Renee? Tulips. And then she bought tulips. It's not her flower. They've never got those type of flowers at the church, but that Sunday morning the Holy Spirit told her. And then when she came to church and when she saw this, that we were over there as well, it is a confirmation again that God is busy with something, and that you're prepared to see that, what God wants to do in our lives. That is where we went to different places and where we told people then of what we were going to do. The last day when we left, we left on the 8th of the 7th. The Lord said we had to leave on the 7th of the 7th, which was Renee's birthday as well. But we couldn't find practical. We only could go on the 8th. So the 7th of the 7th, that was our Last Supper. And these were the people then at our Last Supper over there. And then the founder and the leader of the church at that time also came and visited us that evening. And it was special. It was the Last Supper, what Jesus also had with the disciples, and what he told his disciples, you do it in my remembrance, and we're going to do it a little bit later also. That was Shofar Utrecht at Schiphol, and our belongings, all in one packet. Then I've got to tell you a story about the bicycles. It was in April when the Lord told us, and I think it was to Renee, that the Lord said, you're going to get two bicycles. Yeah, two bicycles, it's fine, but what is going to happen now? Very strange way, we got connected up with the medical doctor, and that is the Saturday before we left on the Wednesday. We went to them, and he gave me his Dutch bicycle. He had been working here in the Netherlands for 10 years. He took his Dutch bicycle to South Africa. He didn't find it really a good bicycle for South Africa, and then he said to me, I can take it back to the Netherlands. He's donating it to me. He even paid the transport cost for me as well. So I got a bicycle over there. And then the advantage is that it is an XL, which means it is built for my length. So it works like a bomb. So that was one bicycle. And then the next picture, when we arrived at Schiphol over here, Robert and Anya came to pick us up. And on the trailer, there was the other bicycle. And then we started having tears in our eyes. How God, in the smallest things, is keeping his promises. He told us, you're going to get two bicycles. We got our two bicycles. A very solid one what Renee has got, a very speedy one what Renee has got, and she's very proud on her bicycle. Awesome. We arrived on a Thursday, and the Lord told us, you're going to start with a small group the next week Wednesday. We said, Lord, it's just the two of us. Who's going to lead and who's going to pray and who's going to do the worship? How, what, where, what are we going to do? Because it was just the two of us. We didn't know anyone in Utrecht over here, but the Lord said we had to be in Utrecht. The first small group, we had one participant. The week after that, he brought his wife along as well, so we had a growth of 100%. Statistically, awesome. But then also, what I maybe can tell is that when we arrived over here, which was the 8th of July, on the 4th of July and the 5th of July, they had the Tour de France starting over here in Utrecht. It only happens once in eternity. The whole world knew where Utrecht was. You didn't have to explain them because the Tour de France was over here. And yeah, it was actually such a confirmation again how special it was, because in the spirit as well, as those bicycles were leaving Utrecht and leaving the Netherlands, we also felt that in the spirit, this place is going to be becoming again of what it has been, a place where evangelists have been trained and have been sent all over the world again. And that's also why we feel that God has sent us to Utrecht, because Utrecht was the first place where Christianity was brought over here in the Netherlands. It was somebody from England who brought it over here. If it is after Brexit, I don't know if such a guy would ever come again. But he came in 600, 700 after Christ. He came then to the Netherlands and he started with Christianity. And if you take a look at the Janskerkhof, the church over there across the street, the guy on the horse, Willibrod, he was the guy who came from England and brought Christianity over here and started Christianity over there. And with being over here, the Lord steadily revealed to us that he wants that place to become again what it initially was his purpose to be, a place where evangelists could be trained and sent all over the world, like the bicycles. So we arrived in July, and then the Lord told us, you've got to start with sermons in August. So again, we were thinking, okay, how are we going to do it? What is going to happen? Where are we going to have a sermon and those type of things? And then the first sermon we held on the 5th of August at Stay Okay in Bunnik. There are a few guys over here who know exactly where Bunnik is. And each and every year when we've got family there, we also go to Bunnik. And it has got a special place in our heart because this is where we started. And then the next picture will show you the amount of people who attended the first sermons. There were three people from a mission team from Pretoria. They helped us to start with the church, so they did more the practical side of it so that we could start with the sermons, and then they helped us with the next week as well. We had two sermons at the Stay Okay in Bunnik, and then we moved to the place of Navigators. That's a Christian student association in Boortstraat. That's more or less in the middle of town. We were looking for a place and they were looking for a tenant. So we came to an agreement, which meant that we had to go onto the place on a Saturday, where they had a party on a Saturday. We had to clean up on a Sunday. We had to have church. But it was a very humble way of starting it. The next picture will also show you on the inside where the guys were dancing on a Saturday afternoon. We were having church then on a Sunday afternoon. We were there for a year, and then the Lord said to us, because we asked him continuously, can we look for another place? Can we look for another place? And then the Lord said, yes, you can look for another place. And awesome, we got this place. There where we started then in 2016. At that time, we had a little bit of more banners, but for practical reasons, we took them off. We had also a little bit of a different setup because we blocked that one, so we had two-thirds where we had in the church over here, and then the kiddies were dead on that side, but the kiddies are now upstairs, and we can use the whole room over here. And that started 4 years back, and in the 4 years, a lot of things have happened. We've baptized people, people have gone through the encounters, and so on and so on. A lot of things have happened. And what I want to say, what happened in my life in that 4 years, and actually a little bit beforehand as well, is that I started to learn to listen to God's voice and not to think, okay, that's the practical way of doing it. Let's do it this way or let's do it that way. Because if you've got to start a church in the Netherlands, then the best place to start, I would say, is Amsterdam. It's the biggest. But God said, Utrecht. Then you're obedient, then you go to Utrecht. I'm reasonable good with working out plans. They call it strategy. But I had to take it, put it in the dustbin, and I had to say, Lord, what is it what you want me to do? And then sometimes it didn't make sense. And sometimes God said, wait. But doing what God is telling you to do, and this is what the last 4 years, what we've been having sermons over here, it learned me there's only one thing what works and one thing what I want to do the rest of my life. And that is listening to God's voice and only doing what he wants me to do. Not what I think, what other people are writing in books, or what statistics are showing, anything like that. If the Lord is telling you to do it this way, then you do it. It's his plan. As easy as that. As soon as you start bringing in your plan, then you ask God to bless it. No. Say, Lord, what is your plan? and then we will do it the way what you want me to do it. And I'm going to ask Renee now to explain or maybe tell the people what has happened in the 4 years with her over here. How God's love has changed certain things in your life. And then we're going to invite the other people as well for the rest of this sermon. How has God's love changed you in Shofar Utrecht? It's not about the courses. It's not about me or Renee. It's not about the good coffee or the things like that. What has changed in your relationship with God for the period when you've been here at this church? For some of them, a short season. For others, it's maybe much longer. But what has happened? What has changed in your life? What is it what you experienced over here, what you want to share with the others this afternoon?
I was on kit, so I didn't prepare. it was a very humble experience to me when God shared with me that we will only take our bags with us and no container. And I was not in agreement with God, so I said, no, I don't like this, and this is now bad, and whatever. But this is how God led us, and he said to me in South Africa, it's part of your testimony. Of course, I have no clue what he's talking about. But as we came here, and Robert and Anya helped us so much, but actually our whole house was furnished by receiving stuff that people gave. And I would never have imagined that ever in my life. And it made me cry about every time we had a cupboard or a iron or a kettle or a whatever. Because I was not used to receive. I was used to give. And it's easy to give. But to receive, you feel, oh no, I don't want to have this. It's terrible, whatever. And God learned me also to enjoy furniture and stuff that other people thought in their lifetime was awesome, was beautiful. So, of course, your own personality is not so much in it. It's not what you chose. But it learned me to be grateful and enjoy other person's beauty, which looked different than mine, and to celebrate that and to be happy in that. When we came, Anya said to me, Renee, you don't need to have a duvet or a sheet. I'll give it to you. So I knew she will give something of her or whatever she gets at Kringloop. I have no clue. But I said, okay, it's all fine, Lord, but just not pink. Because I don't like pink. We have pink flags today. And then just as we landed, my heart was broken. I cried so much to leave everything behind, my children and so on. And just before we landed, I said, okay, Lord, if it's a pink duvet cover, it's also okay. As long as we have one. Yes, it was blue and pink flowers. So till now, we still have it. I think Yolandi and Marco slept underneath that thing as well when they stayed with us for a while. So, yeah, it's a way. God has a different way of humor to humble you, to make you also love pink, although it's not my favorite. But it's also a color he has made, and to see it through that. And, which I really, really appreciate of God is our marriage, what happened to us two. I will never want to change it for everything in my life. It is tough to be here, but I want to be here because it's God's will. God is so faithful. We can see our grandchildren often enough. We can phone them. We can Skype with them. It's beautiful. And before we came, God, many of you know the story. God told us we must renew our wedding vows, which we did, and God said in front of our children. It was a different story. First time we had it, it was with our children. The second time was with our children. And God said, your marriage will be as hard as a diamond. Nothing will come in between it. Of course, I didn't understand. Everything God says, I don't understand. Later, I realized what it means to to an extent. And in our bachelor's flat, the first 7 months, man, it was tough. We had a big house in South Africa, many rooms, many whatever. And now, Darken always had his job. I did my things. We saw each other in the evenings. Now we sit daily, 24 hours, each other, and look at one another. Oh, man. Then I wanted to go to the shops, and then he says, yeah, he thinks he's also going to join with anything. Can't I just go on my own? Then he asked me, do you want some coffee? Then I think it was the sixth one I had this day. So please, just back off with the coffee. But then his mom died soon after we were here, the September. And he had to leave for a week or so. You were gone. Man, I wished him back. I missed him so much. I said, God, I don't worry how many coffee he brings to me, as long as he's just coming back. And since then, he's faithful in bringing me coffee. And our relationship grew so much where we couldn't actually work together. When I cook and he wants to help, it's either me or him in the kitchen. We don't get it right together so much. And but yeah, we had to. We had to do church, God's church together. We had to. And we learned to really, well, I did, learn to, not gratify, but to really thank Dadken for being around, for doing this stuff. Because if he, the week that he was not here and I had to do church on my own, it was so difficult. And the students, it was in a student place, they changed the cables. So all the connections of the sound and everything was changed. And we just couldn't get it on. And then it was so difficult that Dadken was not there. It's typically how the enemy works. But now I'm so grateful is the word. I'm so grateful for everything he does. And I really, because I know if he doesn't do it, I have to do it. And he's good in the computers. I was born BC, luckily he not before computers. So he knows more of that. He made the slides, he made the songs we sang from YouTube. So yeah, God learned me a lot of things, to be humble, to be grateful, to know it's always his church. He made that clear before I came. He said, it's not your church, Renee, it's my church. I thank God that he taught me that before we came. So you serve God. And once some people of South Africa came and they asked us, okay, so what is your hook in Utrecht? With what do you catch the people? I said, I didn't know we need to catch people. So I don't know, we missed it somewhere. No, but you must have a strategy or whatever. I said, we just do what God say. And the one who's preaching is what God told us during the week, who must preach and about what we need to preach. So, I don't know. And then I remember I said, it was very much in the beginning, I said, our hearts is that people can hear God's voice, that they can hear his voice and have relationship with him. And last week when we did this this prophetic action through Utrecht, I realized how many people can hear God's word, how many people can hear God. We were 14. All of them had received messages during the week. All of them was on a roll to go and do what God has told them. And I thought, yes, Lord, it's coming true. People learn to know your voice. It's not about my voice or Darken's voice. You need to connect with God. So yeah, that's what God learned me. What has changed? Our relationship.
Is there anyone else who wants to share and say, but that has changed here in the period when I've been going here to Shofar Utrecht? What God has changed in you, not we, what God has changed in you. One by one, please. No one. Caroline, okay. Okay, we're going alphabetically. C's A, B, C. So we've got.
I think we don't have anyone with an A or a B, do we?
Adrian.
Oh, man, well, you don't get to go anymore. No, just kidding. Yes, I was actually still thinking because I have so many testimonies of what changed. But and some of you who've been here longer, they will actually know most of my testimonies already, but there's quite a few people who don't. Before I came to Shofar, I came to Shofar October 3 years ago now. And before that, I was without a church for a good 2 years because some personal things had changed in my life. I'd gotten divorced and my ex-husband was still in the church where we were together. So that was not very nice for me to go there. So yeah, and it was a really difficult time and I struggled a lot. And I was staying with my parents who are not Christians. So the stimulation was obviously also to take a different route in life than to go to God. And I remembered I was really searching for a church and I went to many places. And every time I went somewhere, I was like, man, no, it's just not it. And at that time, the information on the Shofar website was very limited. It basically said the time and the location. But I had no idea who are these people. So they were kind of at the bottom of my list. But I went anyway, and I really remember thinking before I came, and actually it wasn't even like a real prayer, but almost thinking, God, if this one is all so weird, then I'm just done. Then I'll just be a fake Christian who just lives actually like an unbeliever who just does whatever she wants, and that's it. And the moment I walked in, I just really sensed God's presence, and I knew this is my family, this is home. And that is what changed the most to me, that I can honestly say I have a family. And before, I was spiritually homeless and an orphan, and even more so because my whole family doesn't believe. So you don't have that network, and you're so like standing on your own, and that really changed. And a lot in me has changed also through all the encounters, all the training week days we do, deliverance. And last year, we had a church weekend called Planted, and that was in London, and God really spoke to me about intercession, that he wanted me to join the intercession team, and I did, and now we are almost a year along, and it's really cool. And also last year, I wasn't doing so well at work. I was really, coming close to like a burnout, and God started to talk to me to make some changes, and I started to work less at work, to actually get a day to work for the church. So like the hours haven't changed, but the feeling in my heart changed because now I'm doing something that is building his kingdom, his church, and I'm able to contribute to God in the talents and the gifts he gave to me. And that is also actually made a big impact. I'm pretty okay at my job, I think. I'm not always so sharp, we know now. So I also miss it every now and then. But and also in relationship to other people, I learned a lot about myself as well. You sometimes find out about yourself that you have characteristics that are not so nice, or that you have a short temper, or you get annoyed very quickly, or you have a very strong opinion about how it should be. And other people do it differently. And I can really see when I look back how much I've grown in that, and as a person as well, and in who God is in my life, and that I can be used for his kingdom, and that I can be a blessing and be blessed. So now you've got enough time to think.
Who's next?
No one. Okay, so nothing has changed with you in the period. You are going to come, Yolanda. She was one of those where the Lord, before we came, already put on our heart that she's going to come along with us. We can show you in our journals. You're here. Thanks.
I almost never like doing this if I'm not standing behind the keyboard. So I'm just going to share for both me and Marco. And I also don't have so much of a testimony, like as in now I'm at point B, because I'm far from point B. I think I'm somewhere between point A of getting here and point B where God wants us to be. I think we're still growing. So it was actually really funny. The day that we got engaged, we had had an appointment with Derek and Renee at their house, and I didn't know that we were getting engaged, obviously. And Marco obviously wasn't, so he was thinking about other things. So he totally didn't think, oh, we have to go to a dinner date. So then in the afternoon around 5 o'clock, when we were almost supposed to be there, then the moment happened, and obviously said yes. And then my phone was flat and Marco's phone was flat, and we had a friend that had to let us out of her gate off the farm where it happened. And then I somehow managed to get one of their numbers and phone them or message them and tell them we're late because we just got engaged. And then they were like, oh, okay, cool. So then we arrived there, and then the food was a bit cold, but they had they'd put up a sign on the wall saying hartelijk gefeliciteerd, a real Dutch little sign, which was really cool. And that's kind of like how me and Marco and Renee and Darkjan really started a relationship, us pitching up late. But it was it was an interesting journey, I think, for both of us. In the beginning, I had absolutely no interest when they first approached me and said something, and then a lot of stuff happened and things was confirmed and God started changing my heart. And then Marco later also, his heart changed. And I think up until the moment, long after we landed, we were still asking ourselves, is this the right thing to do? Are we sure? Did we really hear from God? Like, and I think many times there, when it really gets tough, then we always ask ourselves, like, why did we even decide to do this? This is so, we could just be back in South Africa. Like, but it's the same. It's we know that God wants us to be here, even if we see it maybe only 50% of the time, for sure. And when we first came here, we came from a very big church, and a very, very big band, and recording albums and going on tour and doing a lot of stuff. And it was a big change coming to a small church where it's just me and him and the drummer. And I think when we came, we'd just been married a year. We were actually in a long distance relationship for 5 years. So we were still getting to know each other, and we were also not that great working together. I'm very strong personality and more outspoken. He's also actually very strong, but he's more of a quiet person. So it always was in the beginning a little unbalanced because I'm just loud and he's not. And we had to learn how to grow. And I think this was really the coolest step for us. We had to kind of get out of our comfort zones and come here. And God has been working in our hearts a lot, not only about our relationship, but also about what worship actually is. Because we realized very fast that worship is not, and we've said it a lot of times when we were in the big band, but it didn't come home until we were here. And we had to realize that praise and worship is not, it's not this only. This is the end point at the end of the week. What praise and worship is there, and it at work and on the train, and our attitudes and our relationships with our families and the people around us. And that's been the biggest. And we suck at it a little bit sometimes, especially me, because I've realized in the last 10 years how selfish I can be. So it's a journey. I think it's not finished yet. And I think I've only become aware of how faulty I am so far. But yeah, that's been the blessing of being here, is being shoved out of your comfort zone and having to stay out there until you find God and then he helps you back. So, yeah.
Right. Anyone else? Geoffrey. Are you going to preach?
So I also not very good at standing in front. I like being at the back there. I'll be quick. I think the first things that come to mind that has changed a lot is, firstly, I've learned to do something I really never thought in my life that I would do. Yeah, like I really never thought of it. So I came as a student to study here, and then the first week I was here, I didn't attend any church. Then the second week, I did after contacting the Ken, I think, and I attended small group before I came to church. Then I came to church, and yeah, it was a very good sermon. Then I think a few weeks later, when they announced like for setup, volunteers and stuff like that, I volunteered for setup, and I wasn't exactly sure what I was supposed to do. So I came here. I wasn't sure, so I came here and found myself like just untying the cables, and yeah, that's how my life just started. And now, yeah, I like put the cables and tried to do the sound and stuff like that. To be honest, I really never thought something I'll do in my life. Somehow it's taken me out of my comfort zone, because have to adjust the volume and other things. Like, they tell me to adjust the EQ, and I don't know what the EQ is. So, yeah, it's been a learning process in that aspect of getting to know something really that I've never done before, and something I never thought I'd do. But the other thing that's been more, like, developed since I came here was my writing. So I knew I'd liked writing. Even in secondary school, like when I write something, the teacher would be like, "Oh, this is quite good, like it's good." But when I came here, I think the habit was like more developed, because most of the sermons were quite challenging to for yourself to reflect on it and to go find out on your own what was preached about. And for me, I found like one of the ways I do that, it's by writing. I express myself more in writing than talking. That's why if it was possible, I could have written something and just stuck it here instead of me talking. But like over the months, it's now become a habit where almost every week I sit down and just write something random. Some things that are very good, I think, and some things which I don't even want to share in public, so I just keep them on my laptop. But yeah, I like that as well, because I think it's a new skill that I've learned, and I thank God that it was cultivated while I was here. And I'm sure there are more things, but I think those two stand out the most. Yeah.
He also plays a very good soccer. Blessing. You still remember when we were at Navigators?
Yeah.
Hello everyone. It's a bit strange. I have a lot of conferences and presentation, but every time I'm in church and I have to talk to people, I get nervous, which is sort of strange. So I'm Blessing, and I came here, was it 3 years ago? I came for an internship as a master student, and I remember that I like was here in as an Erasmus student. So I was in the midst of people that basically wanted to have fun, and they didn't talk about church so much. So, but then my life was quite different, because I had a lot to do at the university. So I would come back tired at home, and I would basically sleep, and then the next day go back to work. And so after almost 1 month that I was not able to go to church, I was like asking God that this is like, I really like missed going to church, even though I had some issues with my former church that I was going when I was in Italy. I just missed to be in the presence of God, and I was telling God. But then I've always been in one church with my parents, and they helped me decide which church to go to. So now how would I figure out if they're saying the right thing, if they're doing the right thing, if I'm going to the right church? So I remember asking God, please, can you provide a church for me? I want to go to a church. And actually, literally the next day, I was going down the elevator on my university, and I met Peter. He was also in the picture. And he come to me really like, hey, what's your name? And I was like, Blessing. I was like, why is this guy talking to me? And then he brought out the card from Shofar, and he gave it to me. And he said, oh, I don't want to say anything else, but if you're a Christian, you want to go to church, this is a card. It's an English church, and you can go there. And I remember that the first time I came here, I came to the church, was not here at the time, that I was still having all my doubt if they are preaching the right thing, if they're saying the right thing. So I was in the back listening, and then the first very thing that happened to me was like when they started worship, I started crying. And every time I go to church, I cry, and I don't understand why. So every time the preaching has not even started, but then every time they started singing, I would cry my heart out, and I felt that Lord really has brought me in the place that I was meant to be. And I was there in the church, I was coming, and then afterwards I finished my internship and I went back. So again, when I came back for my PhD, I was like, which church do I go? It was automatic that I was coming here again. So, but then in the time, the church has changed the place, so I just came back. And again, the first time I came in, I cried again, because then the Spirit of the Lord really like ministers to me that one thing that I learned so much in this church is love. Like, I cried all the time because I felt loved. I felt accepted. I felt that I don't need to prove anything. I felt that I didn't need to show how amazing I am spiritual, or how much I knew the Bible, or how much I could understand the speakings, or that the way I behaved was so holy, and that the way I dressed, the way I speak, I was really pointing to heaven, right? Because that was how my church was. You really had to be holy. It doesn't matter your heart, but it was important what you show out. And I really want to thank Derek and Renee, because they taught me so much about the fact that your pastor can love you, and he can be someone that can influence your life positively, someone that accepts you where you are and not like trying to push you somewhere else, someone that really like looked at you and teach you that the Bible says that you should look at the gift that God has given to you and grow on that. And I really think that the things that I learned here, it's love, of loving the people around you, loving your pastors, and really learning that they are also not perfect, and that they can really be honest about it. And then all of you go to the Bible and learn how to be honest about growing and knowing to the Lord, and that we are all in a journey. And that's probably the biggest thing that I learned in Shofar.
Right, I'm going to give a last one. Any last one? Mark, okay. Alphabetically, you're not a last one, but okay, we'll accept it.
Thank you so much. With these things, I always feel very uncomfortable because I kind of like never know what to say, and then something comes up, and then I try to organize it in my brain, and then I just let it go because my memory is so bad that I'll probably forget half of what I want to say anyway. Okay, so let me just zoom go to a lower speed so people can understand what I say. God started to work in my life a long time ago, before I was a Christian, to call it like that. And he worked in my life in a very, in hindsight, good way. But I had a lot of personal loss in my life in terms of my relationship with my supposedly to be future wife and my son. And also in work, I used to have a really great job, and then suddenly things just turned totally upside down, and whatever I touched, everything turned into a disaster. So I lost a lot, and emotionally it was a very, very hard time. And I remember walking around in London. There was a nice young lady who spoke about Jesus to me, and she took me to a church in London, and that's where I felt God's presence. And I think, hey, I've never felt it before. You know, been to so many churches, and it was always dead, and I just wanted to get out of there. And but God was still working, and yeah, I did raise up my hand. But my last job, I lost it, and I turned back to Utrecht. And I turned into something that was very bad. Apparently, I could not process it, and I just completely lost it emotionally. And at some point, I thought, I need to go find God, because what I saw in London, I need to find it, because that's what I need. And so I found the church, and I tried to go 10 o'clock in the morning, and yeah, that doesn't work with me. So I tried it a couple of weeks, and every time I overslept. And then there was this weird church that did something in the afternoon, but the website was a little bit shady and unclear. and they were like non-denominational. I don't know even know what that means. So when I decided to go, I was actually living 5 minutes away from here, so it was really good. I went with a very low expectation, to be honest, because the website was so shady that. But when I remember walking in the door and Christoph was there and Dirk Jan. And I remember looking in their eyes and I could see that God's presence was with them and in them. And yeah, that was the moment that I knew that was probably God's hand trying to force me to go to this shady church here. Which was not so shady after all, absolutely not. Dirk Jan and René have been a father and mother to me in the last few years, and going through the process to realize that the world that I came from, which is not the world that we are living in as Christians, through great loss and suffering, is an enormously hard road. And it leads to brokenness, bitterness, frustration, all these terrible emotions. But thanks to God and Dirk and René, who have been very patient with me and understanding and very patient, yeah, God has really brought me to a point to realize that in my pain, in my brokenness, that's where God really is strong. And as a few weeks ago, I was dealing with something and I was thinking, oh, why is this happening again? And he said to me, everything that comes against you in your life is an opportunity for me to glorify myself in your life and through your life. And I think this is the mindset that he's trying to implant in me. And I think it's also a necessary mindset for the next couple of years, that we as Christians need to sometimes be broken to such an extent that he can actually start to rebuild and change us. And where I used to be like a person that is very much in control and very much in planning, and I always know what to do, I always know what's the best way for myself and others, to a situation where I now can honestly say, okay, I know that I'm in a situation that I'm in is definitely God's hand. I have no idea where I'm going to be. But wherever I'm going to be, it's going to be okay. And what God starts to tell me what to do or not to do, he will do it, you know? And that gives such a peace and rest in life and dealing with the emotional loss in my my personal relations. It also gave me a lot of rest and peace in the sense that apparently it was not meant to be. God is in control. And I'm just excited and curious to see what is going to happen in the future. Not assuming, not trying to really put my finger on it. It has to be this way. I'm just going to give it to God and let him deal with it. And that rest and that peace, when you carry that with you, then people start to see that you're actually different than most people because you're not worried about tomorrow. You don't worry if you're going to have food next week or whatever, or where you're going to sleep, because you know that God is faithful. And I'm still moving forward. It's not easy. And the funny thing is that when you think that you're at some point that you feel like comfortable, then the books go open and then you realize how little you are and how weak and how, yeah, maybe it's not the wrong right word, but miserable you are in your own heart and in your own mind and how great he is and how far you still have to walk. But that, yeah, again, that's just another way for God to glorify himself, to prove that he will change you. And that's something as a Christian we have, and the world out there does not have. They always say people don't change. Well, Christians do change. And I think we're all living proof of that. Yeah, amen.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for those wise words. Thank you. Thank you for the testimonies, because what you've been saying is God is busy with us. Busy with us as a church, and continuously we can learn from that. We can see, okay, how God is using us and how God wants to use us. And we can testify about it. Not restricted over here, but we can go outside. And we can tell it other people as well. We can tell them what God has done in our lives, because that's what we are supposed to do. Go and tell. But that we also can experience it, and that it can make us excited, which means that if there's something which has got to be done here at church, or if there's a next church gathering, then you say, yes, I'm coming. I want to be there, because this is where life is changing. Thank you. Thank you for the testimonies which you've shared this afternoon, how God has changed you. And we are all open for change, and God wants to change us. And it's awesome to see how God changed my life as well. It took me quite a few years to actually to realize, because it only happened at 50. But hopefully with you people, it will happen a little bit earlier than you. I'm going to finish off today, or the sermon, we're going to finish off with communion. And I'm going to ask that the symbols are going to be distributed and that you're going to keep it in front of your table. And I felt that the Lord is saying to me, in the meantime, if maybe one or two people just can bring the symbols around, that I've got to read then Psalm 23, but that part where God says, of it, David says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. The enemy is constantly there. The enemy is constantly they're trying to steal, and they're trying to rob, and they're trying to kill. They're trying to distract us from where we are busy with. You anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil. God is anointing us. We are his anointed. We are special for him. We've got that relationship with him. My cup runs over, which means I've got more than enough. I can give to other people. I'm not running short. There's always enough. All of the days of my life on this earth, it's going to stop at a certain time. And then the beautiful thing, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's the thing we'll be looking forward to, that we're going to be, put it on the table, that we're going to be with God the Father, that we're going to be in heaven forever and ever. Because that's the thing where we are looking forward to. That's the thing we'd be hoping for. Because if that's not there, where are we actually living for? But that's where we're going to go. We're going to go to be with God the Father in heaven forever and ever. God is inviting us today to the table. And I'm going to ask now, as where you're sitting, three or four together, take the symbols, share with each other how much God has done for you, how important God is for you. Take 2 or 3 minutes and share it with each other. Take the symbols. I'm not going to do it in a group, so I'm going to, it could be 2, could be 3 together, 4 together. Just quickly share with each other. What has God done for you that you can share it with the other person? And then take the symbols. Then after that, Mark and Yolanda are going to sing 1 or 2 songs.
We're just going to sing a song of celebration. Today's a celebrating song, Sunday. We believe in Jesus. We believe that he's the Lion, the Lamb, and that every knee will bow before him and every tongue will confess that he is Lord.
Every knee will
the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before Lion the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. Open up. Open up the gates. Way before the King. God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. Every knee will bow.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Of the Lord. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him. Every knee will bow.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.